Presence is really strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's changing the order of the service a little bit. So, Brahm, I don't know if we'll get to that part tonight or tomorrow night. We might. Let's just pray for a moment. Folks, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, Father. Father, we worship You. We love You, Lord. Father, we've been bought with a price, Lord. Our lives are not our own. God, we're so glad to be saved. Thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son to rescue us. Thank You, Father, for loving us while we were yet sinners. That You didn't abandon us to an eternity without You. But that You came after us, Lord, in the person of Your Son. Bore the judgment and the penalty that we so richly deserved. And gave us Your very life. Father, if we could live 10,000 lifetimes on this earth and live them all for You, we could never repay You for what You've done for us. Father, we just want You to know that we love You. We so want You to have Your way here tonight. The service is Yours, Father. Good Shepherd, move among Your people. Touch them, Lord. Speak softly to them. Reassure them of Your love. Heal them and build them up. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Well, it's good to see you. Again, let me ask that question. Because we sent out flyers to everybody on our mailing list that lived within a 100-mile radius, and it was kind of short notice. How many of you did not receive that little flyer that we sent out? Could I see your hands in the mail? Well, most of you got it. Praise God. And the only reason that you wouldn't get it is you're not on our mailing list. One thing you'll never get from us if you get on our mailing list is an appeal letter. We don't do that. We offer the tapes free. And we just make available to you, such as we have, we make available to you. And we do give you this guarantee. If you don't like the tapes, we'll give you your money back. I did say the tapes are free, right? Okay, you got that. Well, let me read for you again to get our minds going down this path. This is the portion that I put in that little flyer. It's the subject matter that I think the Lord would have us minister on this week. And we're going to review a little bit from this morning. And, then we're going to go on. Am I the only person in here that's ever had any trouble receiving instruction from the Holy Ghost? Anyone else ever, and I'm talking about literal what to do. Lord, what do You want me to do? You know, what's my calling? And then, okay, what's step one? What's step two? See, and most of us struggle a lot with that. And He gave me a little teaching vision that we're going to teach tonight by precept and example. Even tonight, He changed the order of the service, gave me a teaching vision that's going to help me and help you. Don't you love Him for that? Because He has a way with me of getting it down so simple that the wayfaring fool just can't misunderstand it. You see, now you may leave here and that's okay. You know, you may leave here going, well, I don't agree with what Gary said. And that's okay. You'll be wrong, but it's okay. But you won't be leaving here going, now what did Gary say? Because He has a way of getting it down so simple. You will. So I kind of warn people when they don't, you guys know us, you know, we've been here before. I kind of warn people when we go anywhere, I say, when I say that, everybody says, oh, that's good. I like it where I can understand it. Well, it's good and it's bad. You will understand it, that's good. But the bad part, you'll also be accountable for what you hear. So I say, now, if you don't want to be accountable, because, I mean, all of us one day are going to stand before the Lord, you know. And He's going to say, now, January 2003, weren't you in that meeting where I sent Gary Carpenter to tell you that? Yes, I was. Yes. Are you trying to tell me you didn't understand it? No, I understood it, Lord. then why didn't you do it? Okay? So I say, this is a good time to leave. You know? Hey, it's okay, you know. But we don't want that, do we? We want to walk on with the Lord. But let me read to you what I sent out in that flyer. And this, the Lord said this to me in September of 1998. And it's not like I wasn't seeking Him. I was spending a lot of time in prayer. And I mean a lot of time in prayer. I don't want to intimidate anybody. He has made me able to do this. He's changed my life to the point that I'm able. But at this point right here, I was spending anywhere from 8 to 12 hours a day in prayer. Again, that's just the way it was. That's all I'm telling you. It's not like I was not seeking the Lord. Most of you concede that 8 to 12 hours praying in other tongues primarily, that's a person that's trying to hear Him? And I was still having trouble getting instructions. I was having trouble. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. He came to my rescue, and a portion of what He said was this. Now, He said this to me personally, but I believe most of us, it applies to about everybody. Now, you could put Gary in front of this. He didn't, but he said, Gary, you are having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when His instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions shall come in such a manner that they will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. Now, this morning, we gave a few examples, and I won't go into detail. That tape will be available. I wanted to show you from the Word and from examples in our own life. I've learned a lot about this since then. Let me tell you, anytime you can hear His instructions that release the Holy Spirit to get the job done, how many of you know He can accomplish more in a single day than you could accomplish in 5 lifetimes? See, so it's critical that we find out how to hear Him to receive instructions that release the Holy Spirit to move. Now, we see this all the time in the life of Jesus. He plainly said it wasn't Him doing the works. It was the Father in Him doing the works. So even when we see His services, I mean, I figure if we want to know how church ought to be run, we ought to look at the head of the church and see how he ran his services. Well, the end result of his services, yeah, he would teach, he would preach, but then he would demonstrate. There would be healings. How about the blind seeing? How many of y'all can do that on your own strength? How about the deaf hearing? The lame walking, and the one that really gets me, the maimed. We're made whole. That's when you come in and you're missing a hand or a foot or something, and you leave having that hand or foot, and I don't mean a plastic one. Now that means God had to move. See, and that's what that's what His whole ministry was. He didn't consider Himself to be a person who worked for God. He was a person through whom God worked. That's what we're talking about. That's the difference between good ideas. Now listen, God will bless the good ideas. Jesus said, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward. He'll bless anything you're trying to do for Him. But I myself, I'm 56 years old. I would just as soon not spend the next 10 years working on good ideas when I could just as easily be involved in God's ideas. So we gave some little examples this morning. About, well, what are these instructions like, Gary? And I didn't really know at the time. I didn't know exactly what he was talking about, but I've learned. Well, the first one, one of the ones we talked about this morning was the Apostle Paul himself had to learn these things. He had already been in ministry. We went to the book of Acts and looked it up. He'd already been in ministry and already seen the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And then there was a certain point where he and the fellow traveling with him, they were trying to decide what to do next. And they were thinking about going and preaching the gospel in Asia. Well, is it a good thing? Don't you reckon there's lost folks in Asia at that time? It'd be a good thing to go preach the gospel to them. Isn't that right? But see, it says the Holy Ghost forbade it. Isn't that interesting? See, it was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. So then they're going, okay, Bithynia. I've been to Bithynia. Them folks need to be saved. That'd be the thing to do. Let's go over and preach the gospel in Bithynia. But yet, the Holy Spirit, He wouldn't permit it. All right, so then what do you do? Well, what Paul did there, he took a nap. He did. He went to sleep. See, and sometimes the reason that it has to happen that way, our minds, boy, they just go and they go and they go. I've learned over the years to keep a notepad or a recorder on the nightstand by my bed. A lot of times when my brain is just starting to come to consciousness, many times, before it gets all full of stuff, boy, that's when the Holy Ghost will talk to me. And I do not want to lose those. I want to capture that. So I keep a notepad or a recorder so I can capture it, you know. But anyway, Paul went to sleep, and it says during the night, the Holy Spirit brought him a dream. We would probably call that a night vision, okay? But it, in a dream, and he saw a man from Macedonia. He saw this. And it's a man, somehow he knew it was a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And that's how he got the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, it would have been do you reckon if they would have gone to Bithynia, God would have blessed what they were doing? Sure he would have. What about if they'd have gone to Asia? Sure he would have. But see, it's just a whole lot better to actually have God's plan rather than asking Him to bless our plan. By going to Macedonia, I mean, you know, in the natural, it might have looked kind of bad at first. They led that's where he cast the devil out of that girl that was fortune-telling, wound up getting thrown in prison and in the stocks. So here they are. That's where Paul and Silas was praising God and singing hymns at midnight. I mean, it looked kind of bad, you know. You obey God, and what happens? They beat you up, give you stripes, put you in stocks, throw you in prison. Right? It looks kind of bad, right? But see, the key right there is to keep on praising God. You knew you obeyed Him. You don't be judged by the circumstances. You keep worshiping and praising Him. God, by His power, shook that place with an earthquake to the point that the jail doors opened. They could have escaped if they'd have wanted to. And the Philippian jailer, the guy who was running the jail, when he saw all the doors were open, he figured they left, and he was fixing to commit suicide, you know? And they had to call out to him, don't hurt yourself, we're all here. Now, why were they still there? Boy, I sought the Lord for a long time about that, because there was a soul to be saved. There was a soul to be saved. They're still more interested in God's idea. See, most of our ideas, if we've been put in prison for our testimony and the earthquake comes and the doors fly open, the good idea is to run like crazy. The God idea is wait and get the jailer saved. Now, getting that jailer saved was the beginning of the Philippian church, which turned out to be Paul's number one financial supporters all of his lifetime. No matter whether he went to Thessalonica, when he went to Corinth, later on when he was imprisoned at Rome, the Philippians, they sent to him, and they sent to him, and they sent to him, because they knew where that man goes, there will be heavenly fruit, souls saved, that will abound to our account. Any man who won't just run for his life and will stay and get the jailer saved, we know we can trust this man with our money. See? That's a God idea. God established a base, not only to get those people saved, but I mean from that financial base and those people, they were the number one financial supporters for the rest of Paul's life. Glory to God. And every soul that he led to the Lord goes on their account as well. Some are called to preach, but how shall they preach lest they be sent? And the senders get the same reward. Amen? Glory to God. So that's, now there's a, so I'm trying to get practical ways. How do you get these instructions? Well, Paul got his by a dream. So don't discount visions. I got one here tonight I'm going to show you in a minute. I got it by a vision. And if I was to disobey that and go some other direction, God would bless the service. But He knows who's here, and maybe one or many. Your life is going to change when you see this. I mean, your life is going to change. I'm not, see, because I know God, He don't mess around with you. He's intent on rescuing you. Are you happy about that? He's just determined to bless you in spite of yourself. So anyway, one way that if you take notes or get these tapes and take notes, sometimes these instructions can come by a dream. They can come by a vision. I gave you an example this morning how they come by the gifts of the Spirit sometimes. Remember, I was ministering to that lady. She asked me to pray. Every Christmas, her parents would come to town and they would be in strife. And so she only got to see them once a year. And so both sides were hoping every year that it would be good, but they wound up fighting and bickering. And when they left, it was worse than before they came. And she was wanting me to pray for her that it not be that way because it was coming up to Christmas. And I was fixing to pray a Gary prayer. You know, what's that mean? What kind you'd pray? Father, bless them. We thank you that the Spirit of peace rests upon them, Lord. Give them wisdom. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't hear any instruction from Him, that's what you should do. But I'm at the point of reaching my hand out to lay on her head and pray. And the Holy Ghost speaks up. And what He does right there, now this is one of the gifts of the Spirit, which is available to every single one of you. You know, Gary, how can you say that? Because the gifts of the Spirit are for spiritual babies. Now, we went into a little more detail on that this morning. Well, let me just ask you, what chapter again, what book is it where we find the listing and the most information about the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians. What did Paul say about the 1 Corinthian church? You're carnal, you're babies, I'd like to give you meat, I can't, you're on milk. Yet in chapter 1 he says, you come behind in no gift. See, we have thought that the gifts was the pinnacle. The gifts are for babies. So how do I know that they're for you? I know you've at least reached babyhood stage. And when he finally got that across to me, it opened me up to start receiving them for you. You know, I kept thinking, no, this is a mountain I got to climb. It's a mountain I got to climb so that the gifts of the Spirit can operate through us. And he's really going, the gifts are for babies. That's for when you're split, divided, carnal, and all of that. That's what the gifts are for. He says, as you mature, he says, at the end of that chapter, did I not say, desire, covet spiritual gifts? Did I not say that? Yet, let me show you a more excellent way. More excellent way than what? Than operating by the gifts. And he goes right into the love chapter, which if we be transformed to the image of Christ, walking in love, we're not going to be split and divided and carnal. And God can begin trusting you with some resident anointings, and you won't go out and try and sell them and build a giant ministry. Jesus didn't. Now, all the gifts operated by Him, but you know He wasn't limited to the gifts. He didn't come up to a blind man and on the inside going, oh, I hope the working of miracles is in me today. I hope today's the day that the Holy Spirit wills that the working of miracles and the gift of healing is working today. I hope it's not one of the other disciples, you know, one of the disciples here or something. You know He didn't operate like that. He'd come up and He'd offer you a menu. What is it you'd have me do for you? Because He was full grown. He is the full image of the mature Son. He's not going to market nothing God gives Him. Amen? And so He had everything. He had all the measure of God. He had all, everything God is was at His disposal. He's trying to bring us to that place. God would like to have some mature sons and daughters in here. But I assure you right now, I said all that to say this, the gifts are for you. So let me get back to that girl. Because if you're listening, if you just learn how to listen for these things, hey, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit, all of them are for each and every person in this room and in the sound of my voice. If you're born again, you qualify for the gifts of the Spirit. I was fixing to pray for that lady that, you know, a nice Gary prayer. Lord, bless them, and I thank you that peace reigns, and we rebuke that spirit of strife. You know all the stuff that we do when you're just praying, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just fixing to lay my hands on her head, and the Holy Ghost spoke up and quoted a word, a verse, that seemed to have nothing to do with that situation at all. So I told the lady, I said, I'm fixing to just pray for you, but the Holy Ghost wants me to quote a verse to you. And I don't see any correlation, but maybe you do. Well, what's the verse? And I said, the verse I hear is, eat what is set before you. Now, does that sound to you like it would have anything to do with what she was talking about? Eat what is set before you. But boy, as soon as I said it, I knew that the Holy Ghost had touched a nerve. Her eyes got big as sewer lids. And she like stunned for a moment. And she said, you don't know. You don't know, do you? And I don't know this lady at all. I mean, I've seen her maybe twice at the church before. I don't think I've ever spoken to her before. I said, know what? She said, well, I'm a vegetarian. And my parents aren't. And when they come, it's right at Christmas time every year, and they want to celebrate with, you know, turkey and ham and all of these things. And I just don't do that. And so pretty soon now we're into a big argument, and I'm telling them how wrong they are to eat meat, and they're telling me how wrong I am to be a vegetarian. And that's what the whole thing's about. She said, you didn't have any way of knowing that. And I said, you got that right. But the Holy Ghost does. Now, you're asking to minister His peace to your parents. If you're going to be His minister, then you've got to obey His word. As His minister, you eat what is set before you. And you can be a vegetarian the other 51 weeks out of the year. But this week, you're going to minister, and you're going to eat what's set before you. Isn't that good stuff?
Yeah, good.
And she said she'd do it. I don't know if she did or not, but she said she would. But now, boy, isn't that a whole lot better than a Gary prayer? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, the Holy Ghost went for the jugular because He knew the root of the problem. All I knew was symptoms, what she was telling me. He knew what the problem was. And that's called a word of knowledge. I had no earthly way of knowing that whole situation. It's really a word of knowledge coupled with a word of wisdom because I knew what to tell, you know, eat what is set before you. So in that one thing, it's a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom what to do. See, wisdom, knowledge is the fuel that wisdom runs on. A lot of people have knowledge but no wisdom. No, anyway, I digress. All right? So we're talking about the way that these instructions come. Well, how did those come? How did that one come? That was a word of knowledge. It can come to any of you, but I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to be listening for it. It comes with an awareness that the Holy Spirit is really there. He's really with you, and that brings me up to the vision. I'm going to need two volunteers. Pastor, can you be Jesus? Here's a word of wisdom. When you're ministering in another church, always make the pastor Jesus. Wayne, I need you to sit right here for a minute. Then I'm going to call you up. Now, see, here's the truth of what we're talking about. If you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look at the 12. Now, they followed Jesus for three and a half years, right? But you got to understand, here's Jesus in the flesh. You could touch Him. Here's the second member of the Godhead. Jesus. Work with me. I am He, yes. So the disciples. Here's all the disciples. I'll be Peter, the one that always opened his mouth and got in trouble. I'll just be Peter, you know. And I'm following Jesus for 3 years. But see now, on a daily basis, I mean, I can see them traveling maybe at certain places. Sometimes they'd stay in a home at night. Other times they would camp out. Maybe there'd be a campfire going. But in the morning, I don't really have any trouble following Jesus. Go that way. Because I can see Him. I know where to go. Okay, come back this way. If He changes direction, I don't have any trouble following Him. Me and Jesus. Boy, we're getting with it. Yeah. And see, and if He gives me instructions, He talks to me. But it's with a human voice that I can hear and my soul can comprehend the words. And for example, Jesus would give instructions like go over there and you'll find a donkey and loose the donkey. And if they say to you, you know, why do you loose the donkey? Tell them the master has need of it. I heard those instructions. I know what to do now. And I go do that and I come back and I get the next instructions. Go prepare the upper room. Yes, sir. See? Can you see how that worked while Jesus was physically on the earth? Now, you know, I guess we do have time, but you know it so well anyway. There came a time now, and starting in John chapter 14, where He says, I'm going now. I'm going to go be with the Father. And now, if you're Peter and you gave up your whole life, you have forsaken all to follow Him, and He's saying, I'm leaving, and you're going, I won't know what to do. I won't know what to do. But see, Jesus said,
"Who said you're going to go sit on the throne now, Master?"
Oh, Lord.
Because Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan." I see in the King James it says comfortless, but the Greek word is orphanos, O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. He says, "I am not going to leave you as orphans. I am going to send you another Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He is going to guide you and lead you into all truth, and He is going to show you things to come." Now see, in the natural, you guys can see Wayne, but Wayne, the Holy Spirit, has no corporeal body. I can't see Him. So now that you've seen Wayne, go sit back in your chair. You can move next to the real throne, next to your wife. But now Wayne is still here. Even though Wayne has sat down, for benefit of the tape, I had Wayne come up as the Holy Ghost. I want you to see as a real person, a different person. Different. There's Jesus, then there's the Holy Spirit. Okay? But see, so I wanted you to see that distinction. There is two different persons. But yet, we'll look at some of it here in a minute. He says, now, the Holy Spirit, He's not going to speak things to you that He originates. What He hears, that's what He's going to speak. He's totally the ambassador, the go-between between heaven, Jesus on the throne, and your heart. But now, for benefit of the tape, then I had Wayne sit down, but I want you to know the Holy Spirit is still here. But you can't see Him with your natural eye. You can't hear Him with your natural ear. Yet, we are now supposed to follow Him. And most of us wake up in the morning, every morning, and even though we want to follow Jesus, to be honest, if we be real and get off our little religious high horses, for the most of us, we feel like orphans. We don't know what to do. It's not that we don't have a heart to follow Him, but we seem to have trouble hearing Him. We seem to have trouble seeing where He's leading us. Is that a good example? He gave me this vision just sitting right over there. Because it's Cassandra Labrastos, the Holy Spirit, I hear Him saying, the Holy Spirit is no less real than Jesus Christ. And you do have, I hear Him saying this, you do have the ability to follow Him as precisely as the disciples followed Jesus on the earth.
Amen.
Now see, God's not stupid. I mean, at least agree with me on that. God's not stupid. He is not going to devise a gospel that's impossible for us to do. He's not going to send us a guide that we can't follow.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right?
Trouble is, we've been religiously brainwashed instead of spiritually taught. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this part. The Holy Spirit revealed to me one day that from Jesus' perspective on the throne, from His perspective. Now, you know Jesus, the Lord, hates wars, murders, theft, all the things that man does to man. But He doesn't count those things as being the finest work of the enemy, Satan. From His perspective on the throne, the finest, the Picasso, the Rembrandt of Satan's work was when He separated God's people from the Holy Ghost. Because if you separate, you take any war machine, you take any army, you cut off their supply lines, it's just a matter of time. And if you want to know the truth of it, the devil has fought the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and especially speaking with other tongues. You think about it yourself. He's fought that message harder than he has the message of the cross. He really has. I know a lot of churches where you can go and hear the accurate message of the cross and be saved. But in that same church, they'll call you a heretic and boot you out if you ever start speaking in other tongues. He's fought that. Why? See, the devil doesn't care about you at all. In his pride, we're like ants. He doesn't care whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. He really doesn't. As long as you have no power. as long as you can't do anything to oppose him directly, as long as you can't go about like Jesus did, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil, for God was with him. That's what the enemy cares about. That's why he fought the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why we, the church at large, feel so orphaned. We don't know how to hear him. That to us, it's a great mystery, the gifts that are supposed to be for babies. But how many of you know God's changing that? And I'm not just talking about in church. I mean, you're supposed to have the gifts of the Spirit, brother, in business. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. We've just got to learn to walk with the Holy Ghost and follow Him just exactly like the 12 followed Jesus in the flesh. And that is exactly what God intended. And that tells me it is very, very possible. Because again, He's not going to give us a gospel that will not work. Amen? So now, this next thing I'm about to say, I almost hesitate to say, and only because I don't know you that well. I know some of you better than I know others. I don't know what all you've heard. I don't know what you haven't heard. It's hard to hear with adult ears when you're a spiritual babe. I don't mean to insult anybody. Here, this will help you. The last time the Lord gave me an accounting of my age, from His point of view, I'm 8. Hey, that's a great improvement. Before that, I was 6. He says I'm about 8. About 8 years old, maturity is what he would account me. Okay? So I don't mean to get on you. I'm pretty much a child myself. Okay? And talking about maturity level compared with the level, you know, the maturity of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm about 8. Okay, I got a long ways to go. But I guess this is the point. I'm going to be saying some things that if you leave out this part, you're going to be messed up. To the point I almost hesitate to say them. Because if you leave out this part, you're going to be messed up. Did I say that already? Yeah, but see, if you leave out this part, you're going to be messed up. Everything I'm about to say from this point on, if you're not going to change your life to the point you start spending some real quality time, I'm talking about praying in other tongues, you getting alone with the Holy Ghost and let Him start counseling you. Let Him start building a real relationship with Him. Because that's where you start fine-tuning your ear to hear Him. That's where you start fine-tuning your spiritual eyes to see those visions and dreams. If you're not going to do that, then the rest of this, you can pretty well forget it. Just go to the first church and be nice and go to heaven. Being as nice as I know how. You've got to have a relationship, a real relationship with the Holy Ghost, and that is going to require your life. See, that's going to require your life. You're quiet in here. And I don't know who I'm preaching to. Some of you may have a stronger prayer life than I have. I don't know. Most people don't. Just telling the truth. All right, now here's what I'm going to tell you. And I hesitate to do... Gosh, I hesitate to do this, but I don't know how else to do it but like this. We don't have time to turn there, but in Luke 16, Jesus was teaching about a steward. We call him the unjust steward. And it starts off by saying, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. Let's stop right there for a minute. In the kingdom of God, for us, you know, we're in God's kingdom and not the world's, right? Well, that means we have a king. Who is our rich man? Jesus is our rich man. And the question that the Holy Spirit is asking everywhere I go, does He have any stewards? Does our rich man have any stewards? How many of you would like to be one? Yeah. See, I would too. Well, I've been working on this for years, and He's been teaching me and teaching me. I've had to unlearn things for nearly everything I've learned. But for years, and several years ago, we did a tape set called Stewarding the Pound. And the essence of it is like this. The definition of a steward is when you handle money righteously, that money belongs to somebody else. Now, isn't that the definition of a steward? So point number one, if you're ever going to be a person who is a steward of the Lord Jesus Christ, that does mean there's going to have to be a distinction somewhere between what is yours and what is his. Okay, we talk about that in stewarding the pan. And so the Lord, there's a lot of information there. I recommend those tapes. Pretty soon they'll just be at the website and you can just play them from there. In the meantime, we'll still send you the tapes. Well, Sue and I went through that process several years ago. We sat down, made a budget. We had to alter it several times. That's okay. Jesus is alive and well. Go talk with him. But we finally come up with a set dollar amount, not a percentage. This is a set dollar amount. This is the amount we're going to live on. And Lord, anything that you cause to come our way above that amount, that's yours. And we're not going to touch it. We'll do with it whatever you say to do with it. Because it's your money and it never will be our money. Now that's the basic principle of stewarding the pound. Our provision, his pound. Alright? We started seeing results right away. Supernaturally. It's almost like the Lord said, now wait a minute, let me make sure I got this straight. You're telling me that you and Sue, you're going to live within this dollar amount of provision. And anything else that I bring into your hands, the Lord says, that's my pound. Let me just show you what I can do with my pound. All right? Now, what I mean by the pound, and of course there's a, we could go to the chapter that teaches on that, but that's all on those tapes. I don't want to, recover the same ground. But see, like for in our case, it's that pound by which the Lord sends these tapes all around the world. Where one of the things we do is we send these tapes. The last count I had, we were sending them to roughly 5,000 families. I don't know how many people, but 5,000 households. They were going into 36 nations. That's not counting the teachings that are available free in written form on the website. Prayer requests, just all kinds of things. His pound finances all of that. Plus, whenever he just wants us to give or help somebody that's hurting, that they don't have food or they don't have clothes, then we have money out of his pound for that. But we ourselves, our provision since the day we started has never changed. It could. It could. We'd have to go talk with him. See, he's real. When you need a raise at your job, don't you go talk to the boss. If you need a raise in your provision, go talk to the boss. Mm-hmm. See, but that's going to require that fellowship thing again. Remember what I said? Because now you got to go talk to him like he's real or something. Well, we've never had yet a reason to change it. Well, his pound kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, part of my prayer time every day is I have a ring binder. And there are certain things that I put in there that I confess. Now see, you can get off base on confession. In the early days, confession wasn't working for me real well. You know why? Because this gospel was all about me. I wanted a hundredfold return. I wanted this and I wanted that, and it was almost like God was my big Coke machine in the sky. You know, you put in the quarter, you get your blessing. You know what I'm saying? Well, over the years, the Holy Ghost trained me out of that mess, and now I understand that I am His servant. I am His bond slave. He is my Father, and I'm here to be about His business and not mine. So now confession is mostly for me. I mean, I figure He's got this pretty well figured out. It's me that's got to stay on track. So if we pray and ask and believe we receive when we pray, even though you don't have the manifestation right then, well, then I think it's good for my sake to thank the Lord from that day forward at least once a day that He heard me and I believed I received. So I have this little confession thing that I go through. And one of the things that I have in there, and this has changed, it has to do with the Lord's pound. But there's a little sentence that I have in there, and I just go through this every day. The whole deal takes about 15 minutes, and I can spend the rest of my time praying in other tongues, okay? It's not a big thing. You just go through there, thank you, Lord, for this, thank you, Lord, for that. I worship you, Father, for this. Well, one of the lines in there is, I thank you, Father, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of certain amount of dollars every month for the work of the ministry. Father, I thank you that the angels are causing the money to come in. Satan, you're bound off of the ministry's money. And that's it. And I go on to the next thing. Well, I had been confessing this certain amount for quite a while.
Now here comes the Holy Ghost, our counselor. Okay? Got to remember, I spend a lot of time praying in other tongues. Here comes the Holy Ghost, our counselor. And I'm just at, I've been making my other confessions and going through here one page at a time, and I've come to that page. This is the part I was talking about, Braun. So we are getting to it tonight. And I was coming to this certain line, and I was just fixing to say it like I had been saying it, and the Holy Ghost spoke up. My counselor came. I'll tell you when this was. It was right near the end of May of the year 2001. That's going to be important in a minute. And the Holy Ghost spoke up, and I'm just fixing to say that, and he said, raise that amount by $4,000. I was fixing to say, thank you, Lord, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a certain number, minimum, every month. And just as I'm about to say that, the Holy Ghost says, raise that confession by $4,000 a month. Okay. Now, I don't know a lot, but I've learned to know his voice. How did you get to know it? Lots of hours praying in other tongues. So I scratched out the amount I was going to say. I added $4,000 to it, wrote it right there above it, and right near the end of May, you could say right at June 1st, roughly, then I began confessing, I thank you, Lord, that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of, and now it's $4,000 more. Nothing happened during that month of June. Now, by the way, he didn't tell me why. But see, this portion of... I do have another page about our personal income. This page is about his pound. Now, see, I like to ask it this way. I'm trying to make an impact. How many of you guys, we asked you earlier, would you like to be stewards of the Lord? How many of you would like it if the Lord would increase the amount of money that you steward by $4,000 a month? Can I see your hands? Would you like that? Well, would you still like it if not one penny of it would be yours? Okay, it's not exactly what I thought, but... Okay. Well, I began confessing this, and I already knew ahead of time, because of that teaching he taught me, I knew that this money would all be his. Okay, so that wasn't an issue with me. That's why this is progressive, and I kind of... See, because if you don't get the whole thing, people are going to go out, Gary Carpenter said, I can just start confessing $4,000 a month more, and God's going to send it, and we're going to have bigger cars and longer VCR... No, longer cars and VCRs, SUVs and DVDs, you know. And that is not what I'm saying. No, I'm saying when the Holy Ghost, your counselor, comes... Now, in a minute, you're going to find out he had a real reason for that. All right, so I just began confessing it. Every day, every day, every day. I'm saying it now. I thank you, Lord. And nothing changed during the month of June. 30 days or so went by, nothing changed. But you can plot it on a graph beginning in July. And now get this, we didn't change anything about the way we handle ministry. What I'm saying is we didn't do anything in the natural, no appeal letters. I didn't even tell anybody about this, what had happened. I didn't tell them we was raising our confession or nothing. All we just kept doing what he told us to do, the way he told us to do it. But you can see it just as plain as anything if you plot it on a graph. Boy, the income took a jump in July. And it stayed up there in August. And then it wavered a little bit the next month, but it increased more the next month. I did a semi-annual report at a staff meeting here recently. And what I did, I went back and I took the amount of money that actually was coming into the ministry during the 12 months before he had me change that confession. And then I did it after, for 12 months, after that confession. Would y'all be interested in how much the average monthly increase was? I'll tell you precisely, $4,039. And we didn't do anything to cause that to happen. In the sense of what man would normally do. Send out a letter. We need more funds. If you don't give, we're going off the air. If you don't give, we're going off the air. I always say, go! Go quickly and quietly. I'm tired of hearing it. If God can't keep you on the air, I can't. Go! I'm tired of hearing it. You know? Now, I don't care how big a skeptic you are. How do you think there's any earthly chance that he has me raise the confession by $4,000 and the amount it changes over the next 12 months is $4,039? Do y'all think that could be coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Now, the reason I'm saying this, there was an instruction that came
Now, how hard was it for me to change my confession? That's not a real hard thing. How many of you think you could do that? Saying this number, say this number. How many of you think you could do that? But see, you got to take the whole picture. Because this comes with a life that is selling out best you know how to serve Him. This does not work to serve your greed. This works to serve Him. That's why the Holy Spirit gave me that instruction in the first place. But let me go beyond there now. Let me go beyond there. Don't let me forget to tell Him why He had me do that. Because I want to give you another report. We just finished another year. See, that was May, right at the end of May, or you could say June 1st, 2001. Now we finished the year 2002. So I've just quickly, before we left town to drive here, Sue can tell you, I was in there, man, I was going through the books, and I like to, at the end of the year, I like to go through all the numbers because He teaches me. Well, it's just getting gooder and gooder. From the day now, if you go back to that same day, from the 1st of July when I told you it started changing, from then through the end of the year 2002, now the increase has been over $6,000 a month. And again, we haven't done anything in the natural to cause that to happen. Okay, Gary, how much money of that was yours and Sue's? Not one penny. I see. When we first started these teachings and all that prayer way back when and started getting the revelations and teaching them, I'd never heard any of that stuff either, you guys. And at that point, I'm just going on faith because I don't have any role models. I don't have anybody really to pattern after. And I was just teaching what I was hearing. But see, now it is really nice to start coming back and giving you a report. We have been to the promised land. We have brought you some grapes to look at. Let us go up at once and possess it. It is an exceeding good land. I'd blow the dust off those old stewarding the pound tapes and listen to them again. And if you don't have them or have never heard them, did I mention they're free? You can order them through our website. Our mailing address is Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74157. Just send me those stewarding the pound tapes, and we'll send them to you free. Postage paid. And no return envelope in them. Now, why did the Holy Ghost do that? See, now God always... Remember the vision a while ago? We're trying to follow the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're trying to learn how to follow Him. Now, He told me to do that, but that particular day, He didn't tell me why. The Army has a saying. They tell you to do something. You say, well, why? They'll say, this is on a need-to-know basis. And you don't need to know. Isn't that right? And a lot of times, there's real good reason for that. You're better off not to know. Well, that's pretty much the way the Holy Ghost is, I found. Sometimes... See... If He would have told me, back when we didn't have two nickels to rub together, and we're believing, it's taken all the faith that we have just to believe God for one more biscuit, please. We want to eat one more meal, Lord, please. Father, we have faith for a biscuit, please. Give us a biscuit, Father. That was about the limit of our faith. And if He would have told me right then, I want you to send tapes to 5,000 families in 36 nations, and I want you to send them free and pay the postage yourself, I'd have been like Jonah. I'd have gotten a boat and sailed the other way. He'd have had to send a big fish after me. I'd have said, no, that can't be God. That can't be God. But it was God. See, a lot of times He'll tell you just what you need, what you need to know. Because, if He shows you the real picture, it'd scare you. Okay. Well, let me go on. Because now that was in May, late May of 2001. Now, up until then, for a couple of years, the prayer center, where Pastor Dave Roberson is our pastor and Tim Stemple is in head of all the governments. Well, God, our ministry was growing so rapidly during that period of time, it was just flat. I mean, Sue and I were chief cook and bottle washers. We're doing everything from making the tapes to putting the little labels on to sticking the stamps on. We didn't even have a postage machine in those days, And I mean, it was taking me so out of prayer, both of us so out of prayer. I was going to lose my relationship, see, and I was getting real concerned about it, and so I was kind of going to God and going, God, I don't know what's going on here. We want to serve You. We think we understand You, but Lord, it's consuming our whole time to do this tape ministry, And there's no time left for prayer. And Lord, unless you do something, I'm going to just abandon this tape ministry and start all over again. Because I'm not going to give up my fellowship time with you. The very next day, Tim Stemple wants to go to coffee. And I haven't told him nothing. And he has just come off a long period of seeking and prayer and fasting time himself. In fact, when he really does that, he goes to Ohio to do that. They're originally from here. And so he takes me to coffee, and I don't make any connection at the moment, but he says, "Now, Gary, I don't know, you know, we chit-chat. You know what I mean, chit-chat? How's your wife? Fine. How's your car? Fine. How's your cat? How's your grass? Tim." You know, what's the point? He says, "Well, I don't know how to hardly approach you." He says, "But because during that fasting time, during that seeking time with the Lord, He told me that the prayer center is supposed to take over the tape ministry, lock, stock, and barrel, until further notice. Because we have the duplicators and we have staff. We'll run the tapes. We'll even run the mailing list. We'll put the labels on. We'll send them." Now, what had my prayer been the night before? "Lord, if you don't do something, I'm not willing to sacrifice my relationship and my fellowship time over this. I'm missing it somehow. So between the two things, I'll give up the tape ministry. I'll go back into fellowship with you." So what does he do? The very next day, he sends me the answer. And they did that for about 2 years. Now, during that 2 years, that ministry grew. I didn't realize how much the tape ministry was growing because they were handling it and we weren't. I didn't realize how many new names were coming in all of this, okay? And they were still doing it that way when the Lord told me to increase my confession by 4,000 a month. But see, here's what I didn't know. I didn't know that a month later the Holy Ghost was going to say, "Now it's time to take back the tape ministry. Now it's time to take it back under the bringing it back in house." Now that means buying tape duplicators, high speed ones, $2,500 a pop by the time you pay taxes and everything. That means getting a Pitney Bowes mailing machine ourselves. That means hiring staff on payroll. People like to get paid, you know. That means storage. That means setting up accounts. That means shopping for good prices for the tapes ourselves. That means getting bubble mailers. That means that we're talking real money here. And guess how much it cost? That's why we didn't take a penny of it. And see, it's increased even more. It keeps going. That's why now it's up over $6,000 a month. And I got news for you. If it goes to $100,000 a month, my Lord has a plan for that too. He has a plan for that. People come to me all the time. Literally, this has happened several times. They'll say, "I know I got an idea from God. He told this to me years ago." I want to use a specific example, not mention a name. This lady, God had given her an idea for a specific type of Christian magazine designed for young women. Okay? Right at that dangerous age where the world is really making a pull for them, about 18, you know, 17, right in there. And it was a God idea. And for years, she had been working on this and developing the layout. Her training was in that area anyway. God would every now and then send maybe through a visiting pastor or a visiting prophet, would give her a confirmation in a way that they had no way of knowing except by the Spirit of God. And everything was, she had it all put together. She'd done her homework. She had this package ready to go. And I'm talking with her on the phone. She says, "Gary, there's just one thing I don't understand." "What's that?" "How in the world to pay for it? Where in the world are the finances to get this done? I know it's a God idea. But how in the world to pay for it? I don't know what to do." Well, now see, when people call you like that, I don't take it lightly. I'm listening with everything in me, you know. You know what he told me? Here's my response to her. I said, "Now let me get this straight. You truly and honestly believe that this is a God idea. It's really His project and not yours." She said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "He's the one that put this in your mind, and before the foundations of the world, He planned out that this would be a part of your life." "Oh, I absolutely believe that. And He has even sent me prophets and people to confirm it. I know that it's Him." I said, "So let me get this straight. Before the foundation of the world, Here's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're having a counseling meeting. And they planned out this entire project for you to do. But somehow, they forgot the financing. I mean, the Father, now that you're here on earth and you've got everything together, suddenly the Father is looking to Jesus, and Jesus is looking to the Father, and they're going, "Didn't you plan for the financing? Now, I thought you were going to handle that." And they both look to the Holy Spirit, "What about you?" And He's going, "Do y'all think that's the way it is in heaven?" I said, let me assure you that the same Father who planned out that magazine in the first place, He planned out the financing for it. Your job is not to try and create some way of financing. Your job is to pray and find out the plan He's already created to finance it. Because that plan is already there. Boy, she said, "That is right. That makes so much sense. He didn't forget the financing, did He?" I said, "No, He didn't. Get back in that prayer closet till you find out what it is." See, that's why I warn people all the time. It's nothing wrong with selling tapes, you know. I tell people all the time, do not imitate what we do, except pray. Imitate that part. But when it comes down to the instructions, let me give you one quick example of some real good friends of ours who are, I mean, they're as pure heart as you'll ever find. They're missionaries to Poland. Got into my lessons and loved them, and we loved them and everything. And I didn't know he was doing this for a while. But see, even though I say on the tapes all the time, don't do what we do, you go pray and find out His plan for you. See, whatever He says to you, do that. Don't imitate what we do. Go pray and find out His plan. Even though I say that all the time, my friend, he says, "Gary didn't charge for his stuff. I ain't charging for my stuff. And Gary don't even let nobody know what their needs are. I'm not going to let nobody know what our needs are. And we're just going to do it the same way." I get a phone call about a year later. This isn't working real well, you know. And I'm listening. See, their situation, they live in Poland. Y'all ever hear the phrase, out of sight, out of mind? I mean, in no way should they withhold telling people what they're doing. God called them to Poland to rescue. You talk about, do y'all know that in the history of the world there has never been a genuine Holy Ghost revival in Poland? Never in the history. We've had them in America. Europe has had them. Lots of places have had them. But in the history of the world there's never been a real Holy Ghost outpouring in Poland. And God sends this couple, and let me tell you, they are narrowly defined. That is what their whole life is about. And they're not supposed to let people in America know about it? Where they can at least contribute to it if the Holy Ghost moves them to? I said, "You did it, didn't you? You imitated what we did instead of go pray and find out the plan for you." I said, "You get your typewriter out and you, or computer I guess nowadays, and you begin getting, you dust off that mailing list and you let people know." I said, I don't want to say their names, but I said, "Just don't manipulate them. And don't promise them something that ain't true."
Right.
But I said, "You have every right to let them know what God's called you to do, what His plan is that He wants you all to do." And boy, He's got a good plan. It's a God idea from God, too. And I said, "You just let them know and then leave it up to the Holy Ghost to speak to their hearts." But I said, "You can't. I told you not to pattern after us. You get God's plan." And I said, "Then you stay in that prayer closet and He'll go a lot further with you than that." But you see how it works? Now, it's almost 8 o'clock. I don't want to keep you real long tonight. Someone said, "Hallelujah." No. You're used to it. Now, see, the way we started this lesson off tonight was, when I brought Jim up. See, if Jesus was to walk through the wall right now in mortal flesh, where we could talk with Him, we could see Him with our natural eye, and we could hear Him with our natural ear, how many of you think you wouldn't have a whole lot of trouble following Him? But see, that is not going to happen except maybe just in a vision or something. On our day-by-day walk, though, the Comforter that He has given us is exactly as real a person that we are to follow just exactly the same way as the 12 followed Jesus. Now see,
you say,
"Well, Gary, that's pretty neat hearing those things. Man, You heard the Holy Ghost, did you? You heard Him say, raise the confession by 4,000 a month? Yeah, I did. How did that happen? Not overnight. Not overnight. Lots of hours. Dry. Dead. Felt like unanointed. Hour upon hour upon hour. Spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm using that example. Y'all ever hear, we call them coma devils. Y'all ever go plan to pray quietly for about 2 hours? You're in there 10 minutes and the coma devils attack. I mean, you were full of energy right before you went in the prayer closet. 10 minutes into it, you can hardly keep your eyes open, you know. 10 minutes into it, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, is what I'm saying. See, because I would love it if every time I went into my prayer closet, I heard the brush of angels. I mean, I would hear, feel the brush of angels' wings and hear Gideon, Gabriel's trumpet, and the Shekinah glory would come and goosebumps about 1 inch long would be all over my flesh. And I'd love that. Boy, it's not that way. It's not that way. Most of the time, it is checking my watch. Surely an hour has gone by. 4 minutes. Sandela baku sindrebe astulnele brakure. 2 more minutes. But see, over a developing a lifestyle like that, and now don't let that 8 to 12 hour thing, that was just during a certain stretch of my life. I'm not at all saying you got to go pray 8 to 12 hours a day. Give me a break. We got mamas in here with babies to take care of. We got people that have jobs. We have pastors. We have businessmen, you know, busy on your job. What I am saying is you need some kind of consistent prayer life. And for God's sake, don't leave it to chance. What do you mean by that? Know on Sunday when you will pray on Monday. Is that plain enough? Don't you schedule your doctor's appointments? Why? Don't you reckon they're important? I don't know how it is in Ohio, but in Tulsa, if you need to see a dentist and you're in pain, I mean real pain, and you call the dentist, this to you, the whole universe is now revolving around your tooth. But see, it's not that way with them. And you're calling and, I'm in pain, I need to see the dentist, and you mean in 5 minutes? And they say, just a moment, you hear pages in a book flipping. We can see you the second Tuesday in 3 weeks. You know, or something, you know, what I mean is way out there. And you're going, no, no, I'm hurting. I'm hurting big time. Help me. And I, well, wait a minute. All right, let's see if we can move this. Okay, now, you can be here. He can see you Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, you got that Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, if you're in real pain, let me ask you. You going to be there Thursday morning at 10 o'clock? And I mean if you have to rearrange your whole world. Suddenly, your universe revolves around Thursday at 10 o'clock. If you have to change your work schedule, your play schedule, your children's schedule, you're going to change it. Why? You know He's going to help you. But yet we leave our prayer time with the Holy Ghost, the one who Jesus said is the helper, the paraclete, the one called alongside to help. Yes, I do need to pray more, Pastor. Yes, I do. I'll try and do better this next week. No, the devil will steal your time this week, just like he stole your time last week and the week before that. And until you get to the place where your time with him is more important than anything else and you start scheduling some time with him, you're really just kind of kidding yourself. Okay? You're just kind of kidding yourself. And I don't mean that you wouldn't like to have a better relationship with him. But for God's sake, you don't want to be in 5 years the same way you are today, do you? If we're going to go somewhere we haven't been before, aren't we going to have to do some things we haven't done before? Start spending time with the Holy Ghost. So the first instruction that I would say when he talks about, let's go back to that original thing that he said to me, where he says, you're still inspecting his instructions to come in such a manner that will cause you to move, but his instructions come in such a manner that will allow me to move. The first instruction, I believe, that you'll find that comes from the Holy Ghost is start giving Him some more of your time. Start allowing every hour that you give praying in other tongues. You are literally fellowshipping your reborn human spirit with God the Holy Ghost Himself. There is a rapport going on. He is communicating things to you, not only concerning revelation knowledge of the Word, but concerning your individual call in the kingdom of God. And yeah, your soul is left out of it for the most part at that point, and that's why it's boring and why coma devil set in. But through that process, if you will endure 1 hour, at least 1 hour a day. Why do you say that? Jesus said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Let's just start there. 1 hour a day. Even if you have to break it up in 4 15-minute increments, know what time of day you're going to pray those 4 15-minute increments. Don't leave it to chance anymore. How well did your schedule work? How well is your plan working? Let's think. We just finished the year 2002. Looking back, how happy are you with your prayer life? The way it's been going, is it working for you real well? See, nobody's moving, boy. I mean, nobody's going, I'm not twitching. I'm not moving an eyelash. I ain't saying nothing. That's what I had to do. I went, when we started hearing this message, we were in our middle 40s, and I'm going, well, let's see now. Gary's plan up there, I'm listening to Pastor Dave teach me what I'm teaching you. And I'm going, let's see now. How well has my plan been working? I'm just not exactly, God's man of power for the hour everywhere I go. Perhaps I need to change. So we did. We started making real commitments, what time we could pray. Then the Holy Ghost began doing what we couldn't do, changed our whole life, completely reordered our walk, and it wasn't but just a few years. I mean, we look at our lives now and we're in amazement. We get to come here and do what I would do for free anyway. We get to travel in a real nice car that the Lord gave us. At our age now, we're not trying to save the Lord's money so much as we're trying to save the Lord's servants. You know? He gave us it's a used town car, but it's a good one. And we preach the gospel on that thing everywhere. We get to fellowship with you people and even have some nice meals. Besides all that, I don't have to send you any appeal letters or beg for any money. Now I'm telling you, that's a good deal. Amen. That's a good deal. I like his plan a lot better than my plan. So let me just encourage you. The first level to start, begin increasing your time praying in other tongues. And not just the time you have alone with Him. Hey, we pray in line, checkout line at Walmart. We pray in, if we're not talking, if we're not literally communicating or asleep, normally Sue and I are praying. You learn to do it real softly. You can do it under your breath. You can get in a lot of hours of prayer in a day if you start working at it. I mean, and who cares what the people think anyway? Yeah, that checkout guy at Walmart, trust me, he's not Lord. He's not your Lord. He's not going to be standing there on Judgment Day. You know? And of course, at my age now, it doesn't matter so much anyway if I'm standing there going real softly. I don't make an idiot, And he looks at me like, and I just go, I don't care if he thinks I'm senile anyway. I don't care. Why do I care? For all I know, the Holy Ghost is making intercession to save that guy's life. See? Boy, the one thing I would encourage, begin scheduling your, if you want to start having these kind of things happen more often, expect the gifts. We talked about that. Okay? Those visions and those dreams and those words of knowledge, you're probably getting more of them than you think, but you're missing them. Because, number one, they don't make sense. A lot of times they don't seem to make sense. Like me telling that woman, she's wanting me to pray for peace with her parents, and he tells me, eat what's set before you. See, there seems to be no connection there. But you learn to trust Him. There is a connection. So, how you begin getting into those things, the first step is an ordered, structured... See, what does the word disciple mean to you? Doesn't that come from the word discipline? Boy, if there's one thing sadly lacking in the charismatic movement, it is real discipline. a disciplined prayer life. He didn't use that word disciple for no reason. Amen. Is that enough for tonight? Did the Lord bless you? Amen. Better give Him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.